like a ball player, asked Jane, surprised by the stranger's arrogance. I work for the team part-time, he answered. I'm retired from the brick factory. You know, we made the bricks our old stadium is made of. I do the running for the team now, picking up new players, taking those who are moving up or washing out, to the train. Just general running around stuff. Gene shook his head. Well, that doesn't answer my question. Why do you say I don't look like a ball player? The man frowned. Well, look at you. You look older than most of those who are here. You don't look like you're in shape. And if you don't mind me saying so, most people are ending their careers when they look like you, not starting one. He smiled. But what do I know, right? My name is Robert, but you can call me Bob. Nice to meet you, Bob stuck out his hand, but it remained alone, hanging between them. I'm not feeling like it has been that damn nice, Bob, Gene shot back. More? I call him as I see him. Don't like what I have to say? You can walk to the field. But if you do walk, you'll be late to the game, and they tell me you're starting today. You're here to try out as a catcher, right? Gene calmed down a few notches. Everything the man said was true, and he knew it. Could he smell the booze, too? Yeah, I'm the catcher, he replied. I used to be, anyway, Gene mumbled. Now see what I mean? Asked Bob. Talk that way, I'll be taking you back to the train tonight. Bob stuck his hand out again, and this time Gene reached out and shook it. The Mississippi stranger who had retired from the brick factory loaded Gene's sea bag into the back of his pickup truck, and Gene climbed in the passenger side. You know, there was a Gene Moore used to play for the Pirates, Bob announced as he pulled out of the gravel lot next to the station. Did you know that? Yes, I do know that, Gene answered. He came up through the Reds organization, then was traded to the Dodgers. I'm not sure how he ended up with Pittsburgh, but I know he was there. He was pretty good, I hear. Are you? Bob asked. Am I what? Don't play games with me, son. Are you any good? Bob, I was raised not to brag. I guess you'll have to see for yourself, Gene replied honestly, looking out the window as the truck bounced along the unpaved road to the field. Can I give you some advice? Asked Bob. I don't think I could stop you if I said no, could I? Gene laughed. Bob didn't. Son, you got beer on your breath. Don't think I would show up my first day on the job with beer on my breath, but I'm from the old school, I guess. You say you weren't raised to brag. Well, I was raised that you should show up on the job ready to do your best every day, especially your first day. But that's just me. You don't brag, I don't show up with beer on my breath. Guess that makes us different. Gene was caught off guard by Bob's frankness. It was obvious he was right, and it was equally clear he couldn't show up to meet his new manager and teammates smelling like a brewery. Bob, you're right, conceded Gene. I guess I had a couple too many on the train last night. I was bored, excited, and couldn't sleep. Gene paused and cleared his throat. I'm sorry, Bob, I know I've made a terrible first impression. What would you suggest I do? Bob nodded but kept his eyes on the road. Now that's more like it, son. It smells like more than just a couple too many and more recent than last night. But I have an idea. He pulled his old truck in front of the Greenville Produce Market, a ramshackle affair with large boxes of fruit, vegetables, and old junk littering the front on both sides of the door. Wait here, he told Gene. He jumped back in the truck 2 minutes later holding a big white onion. Take a bite, slugger, Bob said, handing it to Gene. An onion? Gene replied with a look of shock on his face. A raw onion? Yeah, Bob responded with a nod. I know the guy who runs this team, Moore. You show up with beer on your breath and you will be standing back on the platform 6 hours from now waiting for the ride home. Gene stared at the onion he was holding. Okay, I'll eat the onion, Gene said. He swallowed once and took a big bite. He grimaced as he chewed a few more times before turning his head to spit a mouthful of the white mash out the window. Shit, Bob, this is awful, Gene gagged. No one will smell the beer now. If you're going to keep drinking, you better get used to the taste of Mississippi white onions, Bob replied with a smile. They're strong, huh? Gene nodded in agreement and nibbled a few more times at the onion. Things had to change. By the time Bob pulled his pickup back onto the highway, Gene had made up his mind that his drinking days were done. Bob was right. He had to be ready to do his best. If he didn't make it with the Pirates, it would be because of his ankle, not his drinking. Bob Allen, the man who picked up Gene at the station and handed him an onion 10 minutes later, was a Greenville Pirates fan. He loved his team and he loved doing small jobs to help out whenever and wherever he could. It provided a few extra bucks in his retirement and gave him an excuse to hang out at the field. Bob, you said I'm starting today? You know that for a fact? Ray Laws is pitching today, and from what I'm told, none of the other catchers want to be near the plate when he's on the mound. That forkball of his is something else. No one can catch it consistently. It doesn't matter if they can't hit it if our own guys can't catch it. Laws pitched a no-hitter 3 weeks ago, and we lost. 1-0. Dropped third strikes and passed balls, huh? Gene guessed. Bob looked him over for a few seconds before putting his eyes back on the road. You do know the game. He shook his head. That poor guy's been crying for a catcher since the season started. Can you really catch that thing? Yeah, I think so, Gene replied. I used to be able to catch anything Ray could throw. There you go again, Moore. Talk that way and I'll be taking you back to the train before you get unpacked. Either you can catch it or you can't. If you think you can or you think you can't, either way you're right. So which is it? Are you the manager, Bob? He laughed. No, but I should be. The pickup rolled to a stop and Bob jumped out to grab the sea bag. Gene followed him and the two stood next to each other. Bob looked the player straight in the eye. Every American kid would give his eye teeth to stand where you're standing right now, Moore. Gene nodded as Bob handed him the bag. You're up now, son, and I don't smell anything but Mississippi white onion. Veterans Field was an older stadium, but Gene saw immediately that it was going to be the best-kept field he had ever played on. A red brick wall ran around the park, framing perfectly cut thick green grass. The infield was finely manicured, and the groundskeeper was laying down a chalk line between home and first base. Outside of Evitt's Field in Brooklyn, it was the prettiest ballpark he'd ever seen. Bob tilted his head and motioned Gene aside. Follow me and I'll take you to the lockers. Gene followed Bob into a freshly painted concrete block locker room. Painted on the wall was the large Pirates logo. Gene stopped and stared at it for a few seconds. He wanted to pinch himself. Was he really standing there? Gene! Gene Moore! A clatter of cleats on concrete filled the room as Gene turned to see Ray Laws trotting towards him. Ray! Gene shouted back, moving to meet him. The pitcher wrapped his arms around his favorite catcher and lifted him off the ground. Am I glad to see you, buddy? I can't believe how long it's been. I'll leave you two to get reacquainted, said Bob. Ray will show you around. When Ray finally set him down, Gene pushed him back and said, I hear the catchers down here are more afraid of you than the opposing team batters. Ray laughed. That's one hell of a situation, isn't it? If I throw it so the batters can't hit it, my own catchers can't catch it, and I lose. If I throw it so my catcher can catch it, the batter sends it out of the park. Either way, I lose. Both men laughed. Let me see if I can help you there, Gene offered. Unless you're throwing something new since Camp Ruston, I think I can at least stop it before it reaches the backstop. I thought you were coming down in March. What happened? Asked Ray. Gene sighed, then shrugged. I don't know. Long story, I guess, but I'm here now. Thank God, Ray exclaimed. But the bad news is you get to room with me. I'd reserve judgment before you give thanks, Ray, smiled the catcher. I've roomed with you before. Do you still snore? Yes, and still loud, he chuckled. I'll tell you, Gene, I'm not sure if any of these kids could have made the grade over there. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting older and I feel like I'm running out of time, but these young guys, I don't know if they could play the game with Nazi artillery shells dancing in the distance. I never thought I'd say it, but I kind of missed those days in the Navy. At least I had a catcher then. Well, you're stuck with the same one again. Let's see if we can show these kids how a battery operates. Gene briefly looked away and continued, in a lower voice, even though they were alone in the locker room. His voice was less confident and shaky. Ray, last time I was behind the plate was the game where I broke my ankle. Except for the last 2 weeks, I haven't caught a ball or swung a bat in more than 4 years. Ray took a step backward. What? What have you been doing? Gene licked his lips, which were dry. His mouth tasted heavily of onion. The thought of a cold beer was suddenly overwhelming. Plowing, feeding hogs, and feeling sorry for myself? Ray pushed his cap back on his head. Now that doesn't sound like the Gene Moore that I know. A grumpy voice, old but loud and strong, boomed forth from the office next to the locker room. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He was yelling at someone. Yeah? Well then do it! Otherwise get the hell off of my team! A young player, tall and handsome, walked out of the office and out the door leading to the field. He looked as though he was ready to cry. Gene gulped. Ray laughed. Go meet the old man, he's a piece of work. Gene nodded and was about to walk away when Ray stuck out his arm and stopped him. Do you have any toothpaste or gum, Gene? Your breath really stinks. Gene knocked softly on the door and cracked it open a few inches. Sir, I'm Gene Moore. The man behind the desk didn't even look up. Your gear's right there in the corner, he pointed with a pencil. Two more were at the ready, one behind each ear. You'll be number 26. Your locker is marked with your uniform number on it. Go get dressed and start warming up Laws. If you're any good, you can stay. If not, Bob will take you back to the train after the game. Any questions? The manager spit out his machine gun bullet points without even a glance in his direction. No, I guess not, answered Jane. I got that speech from Bob on the way over. He hesitated, but decided to ask anyway. Can I ask your name, sir? Middleton. Jim Middleton. The man behind the desk finally raised his eyes to look at Jane. The stub of a well-chewed cigar was hanging from his lips. It wasn't hard to read the surprise that crossed his face, if only for an instant. Call me Skip. Everyone else does. Now get out of my office and get dressed. Jane walked back to the locker room. Ray had heard the whole thing. He laughed. Turn around. Why? I want to see if your butt's still attached or if you chewed it clean off. The pitcher grabbed Jane around the shoulders and squeezed him hard. Man, am I glad you're here. Jane found locker number 26, dressed quickly in the uniform of the Greenville Pirates, and stood for a few moments in front of the full-length mirror. It was the first time he had ever seen how he looked from head to toe in a professional uniform. The feeling was almost overwhelming. It felt good to be back. You ready to warm me up? Ray asked. Well, you may have to warm me up first. No problem, boss, Ray responded. It had been years since he heard that. Jane just smiled in reply. Let's go see if you can still catch a ball. Jane and Ray walked through the door of the locker room, leading to the dugout, then up the stairs to the field. Besides being nervous, the beer and onion were working hard inside of Jane. After 5 minutes in the sun, he started to get dizzy. The friends were playing catch, and Ray spotted it right away. Hey, Jane, you okay? Jane nodded, then shook his head and fell down on his knees, vomiting into the grass. Ray trotted to him and knelt on one knee. Jane, are you sick? You got a fever or something? Yeah, I think I do, he replied, wiping his mouth on his sleeves. And I'm nervous as all get out. Gene climbed back to his feet, and the two resumed playing catch. Another player had seen him vomiting and took a large cup of water out to him. The jester did a lot to steady Gene's nerves and settle his stomach. Hey, Gene, let's make for the plate, suggested Ray. And no offense, but you smell really bad. For the rest of the day, I want you to stay at least 60 feet 6 inches away from me. Gene waved him off with his hand and walked toward the plate. He strapped on his gear and pulled his mask over his face. His ankle was already stiff and sore. When he tried to squat down, the stiffness only increased. He tried again, slowly. This time, there was stiffness and pain. He stood back up again. Ray, I can't squat down, he admitted, jerking his mask off. My ankle won't bend that way. Gene looked scared. He'd only caught a handful of pitches in the past 4 years, all of them within the last 2 weeks. Each squat had been painful. Today, of all days, was the worst. Ray nibbled his lower lip as he always did when he was thinking about something. Well, Gene, you can't stand up because the batter's going to take your head off, Ray replied. How are you going to squat if you can't bend your ankle? I have an idea, the catcher answered. Gene squatted down on his right leg and extended his left leg straight out to his left side for balance. I've tried this a few times. I think it might actually work. Ray looked unconvinced. Can your right leg take all that pressure? 9 innings of that? Gene shrugged. We'll see. If not, Bob can take me back to the train this afternoon. Let me take a few pitches and we'll see how it goes. Ray turned around and climbed the mound, shaking his head all the way to the rubber. When he got there and turned around, he saw his old friend behind the plate. He could not help but smile. Gene lifted the mask and smiled back. Ray, no matter what happens, I want you to know that seeing you again from behind the plate is something I never expected to see again. It feels really good. Likewise, boss, answered the pitcher. Here's something easy to begin with. Ray wound up and sent a smooth medium pitch across the plate. The ball popped into the mitt. Felt good. Really good. Gene took it out and looked at it, rolling it around slowly in his fingers as though he'd never seen a baseball before. It was June 30, 1949. Ray Law's pitch was the first ball he had caught behind a plate since August of 1945. Chapter 33, The Second Shot. I've never let balls get past me before like this, Gene grumbled to himself after the game. Nothing for the record books, that's for sure. Jane's greatest source of pride as a catcher was that almost nothing got past him. But today, in the first inning, two pitches slipped through. Unfortunately, the second one scored a run, a big run. The Pirates ended up losing 4-3 against a team from Birmingham, Alabama. Jane batted three times. He struck out the first two attempts, but connected well on his third. The ball sailed deep into left field, and for a moment, Jane was sure he had tagged a home run. The ball, however, dropped 20 feet shy of the wall, where the outfielder pinched it into his glove for the out. Although discouraged by his inability to hit the ball, he was most disappointed in his two errors, his passed balls. One was outside and sailed over his glove. It wasn't that high or wide, but Jane completely missed it. The second was in the dirt between his legs. As Jane walked off the field, he recalled the first time he met Ray Laws. Ray was worried then because he pitched so well that no one could catch him. In the Navy, Ray had relied on Jane, and Jane had made Ray look great. "Ray needed me today, and I let him down," was all Jane could think about as he did the best he could to hide his throbbing lower leg from onlookers as he walked toward the dugout. Jane was standing at his locker after showering when Ray walked over to him. Only a few players were still in the room. "Well, boss, tomorrow's another day and another game." "Maybe for you, but if I was Skip, I'd send me home," Jane said with disgust as he threw his mitt to the bottom of his locker. "You didn't have your best day. So what? You haven't played ball in almost 4 years, and you really connected with that last ball. There are guys who start who wish they could hit it that deep. Besides, it's the first bad day you've had in almost 4 years. No one else here can say that," Ray laughed, but Jane didn't see the humor in his performance. "I'll tell you what happened today, Ray. It's never happened before, and if Skip keeps me for another day, it will never happen again." Jane looked around and moved closer to Ray. "I was just not ready to play." Ray shrugged. "Yeah, well, it's not like you haven't been through a lot, you know. Tim Milner used to call you Mr. I Wake Up Thinking About the Game. Do you remember?" The long-forgotten nickname finally brought a smile to his face. "Where is Tim, do you know?" Ray shook his head. "We lost touch after the Dodgers traded him." "I had no idea I would start as soon as I got off the train," Jane continued, needing to discuss his poor performance. "I figured last night was my last night to have a few drinks. I really don't know why. I've had enough over the last few years to last a lifetime. But I did. When Bob picked me up from the train and told me I was starting, I almost jumped out of his truck." "Yeah, well, Skip is like that." "More! Come see me!" Skip bellowed from his office. Jane sighed and looked at Ray, who didn't acknowledge hearing Skip. No one else in the locker room did either. Everyone knew, or thought they knew, what it meant. Jane put his hand on Ray's shoulder. "I stunk. But you know what? It was a good day anyway. I got to play baseball again." "Yes, Skip?" Jane said quietly when he stepped into the manager's office. This time, Skip looked up when Jane arrived. "You played in the Navy with Ray, right?"
"I did."
"Baseball?" Skip asked sarcastically. Jane's heart skipped a beat.
"Yes, Skip. Baseball."
"You were a catcher?" Jane hung his head. "I know I didn't play well today, and I'm sorry." "When was the last time you caught a game?" Skip asked.
"You don't want to know," Jane responded.
"Damn it, Moore! Don't you tell me what I want to know! I asked you a direct question!"
Jane raised his head and looked at the manager. "About 4 years ago, give or take."
"Give or take, you say?"
mumbled Skip as he rummaged through the drawer, found a cigar and stuck it in his mouth.
"That explains why you forgot how to squat behind a plate," he said, speaking out the side of his mouth, throwing up his arms at the same time. "No, I didn't forget anything. I have two steel bolts attaching my ankle to my leg. That explains the stance," Jane replied, a bit more boldly and proudly than he felt. "It's the only way I can get down, Skip. My ankle doesn't bend anymore. I was injured playing in the Navy."
The manager removed his cigar, studied it for a few seconds, and threw it against the wall. The pencil behind his left ear clattered onto his desk.
"Damn it, Steve, get in here!" he yelled. "Are you listening to this? We released another catcher for this guy?"
Steve Bergner was Skip's third base coach. He was outside speaking to one of the players when his manager demanded his presence.
"What's wrong, Skip?" Steve asked, poking his head into the office. When he saw Jane, he looked away. "What's wrong?" answered the manager. "I'll tell you what's wrong. Frank Boudreau's prize catch hasn't caught a ball in almost 4 years. Count 'em. One, two, three, four."
As he ticked off each year, Skip unfurled a finger on his right hand. When he hit 4, he turned his hand palm out and stuck it in Steve's face. Steve looked at Gene. "Is that right? 4 years?" Gene nodded. "Where the hell's my cigar?" asked the manager. When he spotted it in the corner, Skip walked over, picked it up, and stuck it back in his mouth. He had removed his jersey, and the muscle t-shirt he had on beneath it was soaked in sweat. "He can't squat behind the plate, he's out of shape, and while we're on the subject, he smells like he has beer and onions sweating out of his pores." "I'm sorry I wasted your time," said Gene, finally breaking his silence. "I didn't really want to come here anyway."